This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, we are 1 hour away from our streak continuing by never, ever leaking out any information that was given to us by the ACC's corporate office.
Okay, trust us.
That's right. We've yet to screw it up.
That's it.
Not one time.
So before we tell you an hour ahead of time, here is Notepad. This is the best of the month. We've been doing this since the show started, by the way. We highlight the best offensive, defensive players and surprises and disappointments, stories and games.
All right, I'm going to lead off. Best offensive player in the month of February. I'm going women's lacrosse. She is unstoppable. I've told you she's a superstar.
She's only been playing 10 days.
I don't care. She scores 5 goals every time.
That's true.
4 games already of 5 goals or more.
Jeez.
Unstoppable. Spectacular. Every time they play, you pay attention. Because Charlotte North is going to put on a show. Nobody more explosive. Look at that shot. Behind the back, your mama. That's what that was. Your mama is what that was, Wes. She is unbelievable. Charlotte North is unstoppable. So Charlotte North gets my offensive player of the month for February.
What is it, 1979 in here again?
I don't care.
Your mom.
Your
talking
mama.
About
mom. Did
mamas.
You see that move, though? Around the back. Like, what? You know, see ya. Catch ya.
What
you
got? Holy cow.
What do
mine?
You got?
You know what? I know their season has not been what they wanted. But I'll say this, Delisha Washington has been unbelievable. Best offensive player? There's no doubt who the best offensive player was in February in women's basketball. Double O for the Tigers. I saw there were a 40-burger at one point.
Against Georgia Tech.
Yeah. I mean, she was getting 26 and 24. She finished averaging just south of 20 against the league this year in conference play. So, Delisha Washington of Clemson is my offensive player of February.
I like that move.
Yeah. I mean, I just...
She had a great month.
Now, I'm going to go defensive player. Now, remember, for January, we did Notepad the early part of February. Who was my January defensive player?
I don't know.
Leaky Black.
Oh, it's a good pick.
Okay. My February defensive...
Do you know who my January player was?
No.
Mark Williams.
Okay. Well, now guess what we've done? My February defensive player of the year is Mark Williams because it's between these two, and this guy has been terrific. The block shots, about 3 a game, right? You can't score inside. He's gone. His improvement level has just been significant. I remember having an early January conversation with Coach K about consistency. Well, it's there now. He's been great in the month of February.
All year.
Yep.
Terrific. I've been bragging about this guy all morning, and he's my defensive player of the month. He did the job again last night if you watched the game. Leaky Black, he's a problem. He's a glove, man. Long, athletic, doesn't mind taking the tough guy on the other side and shut them down. Tell you what, these two guys you mentioned, Williams and Black, I want them both on my team.
Yep.
Because they're going to shut you down. The guy is a problem on the defensive end.
So Leaky Black, who went through senior night festivities last night in Chapel Hill, defensive player for Pack. All right, biggest surprise, and I think we both agree.
We do.
Elliot Avett did a lot of media availability prior to the first baseball game of the season, including this show. Including this show. And I think we've got a pretty good relationship with him, don't you?
I'd say so, yes.
Yeah. Do you know that in this media availability with us, and it's being reported at others as well, not one mention, not one, of Tommy White.
Poor coaching.
How in the world do you not mention this?
He didn't want us to know. Tommy,
is this
tanks.
Some government secret or something you were launching on people, Avent?
Man, I'm telling you, he, and by the way, Smithfield's barbecue looks good there in the background. 47 is hitting bombs.
He's going to hit 47.
He's hit 9 in 8 games. Leads the country. I've already had so many NC State fans send me a note. When are you going to put Tommy on? Hey, we got a long way. We're just getting to the best part of hoops. We got plenty of time to get into baseball. But Tommy White has been unbelievable out of the gate. I mean, it's just 9 homers, 8 games. And they're not just like, oh, he just got over the fence and it. No, he's hitting shots that are just unbelievable mammoth shots. Guy's been incredible.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, he's – and they're no doubters. When they hit, they're hit, they're hit.
NC State, one of four, if I'm not mistaken, one of four ACC baseball teams still undefeated after the second week of the season. Just want to point that out.
All right, we agree on biggest surprise. We also agree on biggest disappointment.
And this has been a bummer. I got to tell you, well, we know how good Duke's been, right? They've been a standard in this league all year. But the fact that nobody else in the conference has been able to crack the AP Top 25, there have been a few that have been close, right? The Wakes, the Notre Dames, the Miamis receiving votes, Florida State until they had the meltdown with the injuries and everything else. But nobody else has been able to do it. And that stat that it's the first time since the 1966-67 season that we're not going to have a ranked versus ranked ACC matchup is, like I said, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
And for all of us that are at least old enough, it's been a year that we've never seen before, quite frankly. So that is a major disappointment.
All right. The best story? For me, the best story right now is the Wake-Miami-Notre Dame run to postseason. And when you're talking about Notre Dame, and they're all three different stories, but the combination of the three challenging for potential double bye or securing double bye or the storyline of Notre Dame losing their ACC opener by nearly 20 at Boston College to come back and finish second. There's all sorts of different little lines of thinking about all three products, and it's congratulations to all three, but for me, it's the best story because in order to get to this point, you had to win in February, and they did. So that's why I went with that.
All right, mine is totally different, and I know you're going to say, oh, you're just sucking up to the co-host. I'm not. I love the best story of the month was the Woody Durham Media Center. Nice. I do. I thought that was a touch of class by North Carolina. Again, I'm not saying if you were sitting in Cartersville, Georgia right now and I had no idea who you were, I would say this. What Woody Durham meant to the University of North Carolina, for any of us that grew up in the state of North Carolina listening to the transistor radio, man, Woody was just synonymous with North Carolina basketball. And again, I thought what North Carolina did to honor your dad was awesome.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Still unbelievable. Best game?
Boy, this is tough. I see what yours is. That's the first time I looked down to see what yours is. And I thought of that one, but I didn't pick it. I went with a women's basketball game. And I just remember the ball hanging on the rim. And you're like, is it going to go in? Is it not going to go in? It bounced. I went women's hoops. North Carolina, stunning Louisville. And as it turns out, it was a pretty important game, right? As it worked out as far as the standings. Louisville in the top four, NC State's in the top four, but this was a great win for Courtney Banghart. And, you know, it just kind of sets the stage for Greensboro this week.
Yep.
That North Carolina's going to sit there and go, hey, you know what? We know NC State's really good. We know Louisville's really good, but we've beaten one of them. And it was a great basketball game.
I did go with the Cavaliers' win at Cameron just simply because it was a high-level ball game. Yeah. I mean, Duke did not play great in the first half. That gave Virginia some confidence and a working margin. Blue Devils were every bit the team the Cavaliers were in the second half. And like all these good games, it should come down to a shot, right? And it did. And Reese Beekman, tell you what now, they're big shots and they're big shots, and this is a huge shot. And a team that has been fighting it all year hit the game winner in Cameron.
Only the second three-pointer that goes in for Virginia that night. But, man, it was the shot to beat Duke by one. Great. That's a good list.
Yeah, no
good
question.
Month. Quick month, but it was a good month.
By the way, welcome back to all of you on the Spectrum channels.
Are we back?
Spectrum? Apparently, audio has been restored. We apologize on behalf of Spectrum for the technical difficulties you've endured.
Hey, Barbara Packer, happy birthday. You missed it in the first hour, unless you can read lips. Can we put the shot?
You're unbelievable.
What do you mean I'm unbelievable? I mean,
birthday, Barb.
If the folks in Spectrum couldn't
can
understand
we run the Barb
this.
Picture one more time just for fun, too? Let's run Barb's picture.
I mean,
we got a couple minutes before we got to get to. Yeah,
she was a Spectrum customer.
Yeah. Barb watching on the Spectrum channels. Yeah. Billy, why aren't they running the picture? They told me, happy
Mark
birthday.
Mark and Wes are talking, and Barb. I can't hear a thing. There's something wrong with the remote. All this electronic equipment, I'm telling you what.
There's Barb. holding on to Fuller for dear life because that's what you have to do when it's Fuller.
Fuller's just looking for squirrels and chipmunks and deer. And Piper Girl's there. That's Gigi's dog.
Liz
Gigi
in the back. Good to see Liz there.
Yeah, Lizzie's over there in the back. Yeah. Actually, Lizzie's kind of right over Barb's shoulder. Yeah. With Grant, and there's Aaron and Jack and the whole Hayden. Hey, up there front with Fuller, and then, of course, Barb.
And there's all your retirement money out there to the far right, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that out-of-state tuition.
Dan Radakovich and President Jim Clements didn't give me any help. Said, no, Pac, Charlotte would be out of state. It's not an annex of South Carolina.
And how far is it to the line?
9 stinking miles. I could walk. It's just like when those Duke and Carolina folks walked down Tobacco Road to see each other. I was 9 miles from about $400,000 in cash paying out of state tuition. And Jim Phillips, Jim Phillips, a great commissioner. But President Clements down there at Clemson did me no favors. There was no annexation of Mecklenburg County into South Carolina.
Most notably, this address.
Don't freeze that out-of-state tuition now. Doesn't do me any good. I'm done. You've tapped out.
Oh, they've done that? They've gone and freeze?
No, I'm tapped out. They can do whatever they want with out-of-state tuition at Clemson now. Doesn't matter to me. I could have bought one ticket with the amount of money. If we had moved 9 miles, Wes, I could have bought one ticket of the Mike Krzyzewski level of $300,000 for the game. Saturday night.
Happy birthday, Barb. All that and happy birthday. All right, don't forget, coverage from Greensboro starts on Thursday night around 10 o'clock. We'll have nothing but net for you from the Coliseum. That'll be our preliminary coverage of the Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Basketball Tournament. You'll get Kelsey Riggs, Kelly Gramlich, Hall of Fame coach Muffet McGraw, Chelsea Gray. They'll all be there Thursday night, 10 o'clock. They'll be there to recap the first couple days of the ACC Women's Tournament, and it follows the conclusion of the 7th game. That's actually the 4th game of the second day of the ACC Tournament. Starts Thursday night, right around 10 o'clock, right here on ACC Network.
Let's get something completely straight about this, ladies, especially Muffet, who I understand likes to eat peanuts. You throw those shells on the set, you clean up afterwards, because Friday morning, we roll into town. I don't want any of that Muffet stuff all over the... You know, she's got the scarf. The ladies apparently like to eat a lot on the set.
Oh,
so
my gosh, really?
Clean it up afterwards.
You don't know this, right?
And we're coming in there Friday morning, great, bright and early.
Bless your hearts, ladies. We'll see you on Friday. All right, when we come back, the greatest pass-catch combination in an ACC regular season conference game next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Looks up court. Throws the ball down court. It's caught by Cleveland. Puts up the prayer.
Yes! Nose win!
Oh, my goodness! Officials are going to go to the monitor to see if look at the Seminoles celebrate. Matthew Cleveland from 40 feet.
Matthew Cleveland, I see you, young fella.
Mean Gene on the call.
Looks up court.
You can listen to him all day, man.
I love it, dude. He is so
Hall
good.
Hall of Famer he is.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Multi.
Yep.
All right. Two gentlemen getting ready to join us. Make their debut on the program. Both up.
Matthew Cleveland is a freshman from Atlanta. He is on the left. Harrison Prieto is Mandeville, Louisiana. Is that about right? Am I right on that, Harrison?
Yes, sir.
Of note, meteorology major, Packer.
All right, we're going to get to that.
We're going to lock in a little bit with you on that. I have called this one of the greatest pass-catch combinations in ACC history. Grant Hill to Christian Laettner would be a standard. I hope you guys understand that, okay? The Duke-Kentucky game. But I want to start with Harrison. I want you to take me through what you saw and how this happened from your perspective, and then we'll get to Matthew.
Yeah, so we tried to get a charge with Jalen on the baseline, and so I was kind of hoping that the guy would run right into Jalen and we wouldn't have to go in, throw the ball actually in. We get some free throws and end the game. But, it didn't happen. So I look over and I'm like, all right, let's see if I can get John over the top. And he wasn't open. And then they double teamed Ray. So I'm like, well, somebody's got to be open. That's five guys at that point. And then I just see Matt kind of streaking across the top of the key on the other side of the court. And I'm like, it's going to Matt. So I gave a little pump fake and threw it right to him. And he did the rest.
All right, Matthew.
We drew up many different parts of the play. Could go anywhere. It was really for John on a oop, Jalen on ball charge. You know, I saw them both go with Ray. So I streaked out to the other side and I made eye contact with Harrison, and the rest is history. It felt good when it left the hands.
All right, I'm going to ask both of you a question, and if you answered it the same way, so be it. What was the hardest part of this play? Number one, the pass. Number two, the catch. Or number three, the shot? Matt, I'll let you answer it first.
Definitely the catch. I thought it was going over my head, so I did all I could to try to catch it.
Harrison?
Well, I was hoping he wasn't going to say the catch because I thought I put it on the money a little bit. But I would say the shot. I don't know. I don't know how you make that, turning in the air and throwing that up. So,
Matt, I'm not trying to butter you up here. I think this is, first of all, Harrison deserves credit. He and Grant Hill, very similar in terms of the accuracy on the throw. You know, Leitner had to reach up. And I went back last night because knowing you guys were coming on and rewatched Hill and Leitner. Cleveland, I want to tell you something, my man. What you did from a catch and shoot standpoint, I mean, Leitner took a dribble, turned around, took the shot at like 18 feet. You caught that thing in one motion going away from the basket and somehow launched it. To me, I've watched this play now about two dozen times, and I still don't know how you did that. I mean, and if you tried to do it again, could you? And to me, that's the mark of any incredible shot. If you wanted to do it again, could you?
Maybe one out of every 10 times. I mean, it was just a good shot and a good play, so, you know. Just tip my hat towards Harrison to the pass.
You know that answer.
No, let's go do it again. I think he could do it again pretty easy.
You know, I was going to say, everybody watching this show in Charlottesville just turned this off, but I appreciate that answer. Matt, I want to say something. You know, when Charlie Moore made that half-court bank shot and Miami knocked off Virginia Tech, he does the runaround and runs right into the locker room going full speed. And again, like Wes, I've watched this play God knows how many times. And I'm curious, were you so in awe of making the shot that you forgot where your locker room was? Because I got the sense that you started running around like, I know the locker room's over here, but I think my bench is over here. And you just started running around thinking, I don't think Matt had any idea where I'm running to. I just know, oh my God, we just won the game.
My first thought was just don't get tackled. I didn't want to end up in a dog. And after that, I was running to the locker room, but then there was Virginia like staff covering the way to the locker room. So I was like, just let me keep running. I don't get tackled. I'm not trying to get tackled. That was my ultimate goal.
That is funny. Needless to say, it's a big win. And this has been a frustrating year. Harrison, you know more because you've been there longer. From the standard that you guys have played to for the last few years. And I know you've got games with Notre Dame and NC State at home to finish. Does it feel like some of that Saturday can carry over, Harrison, and push you guys here in the last week of the regular season?
I think so. I think we kind of gained a lot of confidence just seeing, like, we can win, you know, even with all the guys we've got out. So if we can do that, then we might as well keep fighting to the end and see if we can rattle off a couple more.
It's also given so many guys the opportunity to get more playing time. And I do think it's somewhere down the road, especially when we get in the next season, I think it's only going to help this team. And we know what Leonard's built. I mean, you guys are legit. And when you're completely whole, we've seen you beat Duke. So it's not like that was a stunner or anything else. We expect Florida State to be one of those teams. But I think it's going to be one of those kind of years that after what happened to you from an injury standpoint in January – you're going to get dividends from this perhaps next season, where all these guys are getting playing time and starting to understand what it's like to play, compete, and get after people each and every night.
All right, now you look at the way this is shaped up. Harrison, you're probably a beneficiary of some of this. I mean, I can look at your years and say, okay, well, this guy was a – I mean, he played a minute or two here or there. Your minutes have quadrupled at least. What's that been like for you to now take on a larger role after – I mean, I'm not going to say you didn't provide leadership because I know you did just based on the way that program was built, but now to take on a more of an on-the-floor role.
Yeah, I mean, it's rewarding, right, because you put in so much work. Obviously, the circumstances aren't great just with everybody being injured. But I'm going to go out there and do what I do the best I can, and give it everything I got. And I think I'm one of those people that if I do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may, then I'll come out all right. And I think I've done pretty well in the time that I've had on the court. So I'm just proud of myself, I guess.
Yeah, you should be. Absolutely.
Matt, you guys have won 6 1-point games, which is ridiculous. I mean, between the overtime record, you won 13 in a row in overtime, which you can't do.
Yeah.
You've won 6 1-point games. What's the magic sauce for Florida State in these tight games?
I think it's just the camaraderie we have. You know, we go out to battle. We know if it's close at the end, we're riding with each other so much that it's just like, I'm not going to lose for my teammate. He's giving me so much confidence this game. I'm going to go out and win for him. So I would just say, like, it gives you an extra push at the end of the game to just go out and win.
All right. Let's get to the particulars with you, Harrison. I mean, before Saturday's pass, you were better known as the meteorologist. Packer has right. An affinity for meteorology. You want to tell him your theory about meteorology?
Yeah. Here's the deal, Harrison. Local news gives no time to the local sports guy. The local sports guy gets like 60 seconds to rattle through. The weather guy gets 11 minutes to tell me about what the cold front is in Toronto when I live in Florida. So it's like, hey, cut to the nonsense. You weather guys need to figure this out. Here's all we need to know. The high, the low, the chance of rain. In 45 seconds, that's all I need from a weather guy or a weather woman. Doesn't matter. True or false on that? You agree or disagree?
I mean, personally, I think we should give more time to the meteorologist on camera just because, you know, it's an important job and the weather's very important for things. So I don't mind that the sports cast gets a little less and the weather guy gets a little more. So,
okay. Let me tell you something, big man. You know what? I hope the local Tallahassee affiliate heard that, because instead of showing this incredible play between you and Matt, you know what? No, we're going to break in to let you know it's raining in Oregon. And 7 days from now, it's going to be coming zipping through the panhandle of Florida, and it's really going to affect us. You can't go there. I know that's your love, but, man, you got to give the local sports guy some love. You got to.
All right, we'll split the time a little better. How about that?
There you go. That's a better answer.
Are you that. Now? Is it what I originally was told? Is you don't mind the idea of meteorology on television? You wouldn't mind being what they call in the trades an OCM, an on camera meteorologist? Is that right?
I wouldn't mind it. It's not exactly what I'm trying to set myself up to do right now. But I mean, like, if the right situation came up, I don't know if I would say no.
That's pretty cool. Matt, you're early in your career. You played at a great program in Atlanta at Pace. I know you played AAU ball for the world-famous Atlanta Celtics. Has this been everything you thought it would be when you signed at Florida State?
No, it definitely has. It's had its up and downs this year. But coming in, I really didn't know what to expect. But all the seniors and leadership like Harrison and everybody, they helped me along the way. So it's been everything I expected and a little more.
Hmm. All right, since you guys are making your debut.
Boy, Prieto better be good at this, by the way. Harrison, this ought to be really in your wheelhouse
now. Well, we'll see what the answers are for both these guys. Here. Right. Matt, here's the traditional question. I'll lead with you. Since you've been in Florida State, what has been your hardest class?
Criminal investigative and judicial court class.
Whoa.
Man, you might want, after what you guys just did in Charlottesville, that might have come in handy.
Was that the criminal investigation or the judicial court?
All the above for the folks in Charlottesville. They're like, oh, I can't believe the guy that just put a dagger and it's just answered the question that way. All right, Harrison, tag, you're it, Mr. Meteor, Mr. Weather Guy. What's the story here at Florida State? Hardest class?
Probably a graduate level atmospheric convection class I took last year.
Oh yeah,
that's a good answer.
And by probably, I mean definitely. Yeah,
yeah. That was a good answer.
Atmospheric convection, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was hoping you weren't going to say, if it's a hurricane weather guy, get out of the way. We don't need you to standing out there in the middle of a hurricane on television.
You notice
that's the best part of a hurricane.
No.
The weather guy standing in the middle of it?
No, we are not going to get along. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm just tell you that. You know what? I wish you the very best, but you and I are just not going to be on the same page that weather stuff.
By the way, Matt, is it true that you grew up a Georgia Tech fan? Is that right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yep, I know. I know the songs, everything. Grew up going to Georgia Tech basketball and football games from time I could remember till high school.
Well, I tell you, the guy who used to do radio there was trash, though. Those guys now that do it are a lot better, aren't they?
I know.
Not
one
the
thing,
old guys.
Yeah. I know one thing. You just answering that question, Josh Pastner just threw up all over.
Yeah, Josh Pastner just fainted. Hey, be well, you guys. Good luck the rest of the week. Look forward to seeing you in Brooklyn. And, hey, tell Coach Ham you guys were good on the show.
Yeah, really good.
And he didn't need to be on today. Make sure today you tell Coach Hamilton, we got you covered on the show, Coach. They didn't need to talk to you.
Got it.
All right.
Thank you, Rob.
Good
all
luck,
right,
guys.
You bet.
See you guys.
Matthew Cleveland, Harrison Prieto. When we come back, more to go on Packer and Durham. ACC legend is next. Did you watch last night?
Yeah. Still spectacular.
Not even close how good this still is. Roll it back to 1995 and give me Randolph Childress next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Childress for three. Holy cow! He's got 31 points.
In overtime, Childress kept pushing Wake toward the title.
Oh, man!
Scoring all of their points and approaching Lenny Rosenbluth's all-time tournament scoring record.
Randolph putting on a performance for the ages.
But when Carolina's Donald Williams hit a three with 24 seconds to go, they were all even.
Tied at 80.
The moment of truth for Wake Forest and Childress had finally arrived.
The ball was actually in my hands, and I just knew that I needed to get Randolph the ball. They denied him well. I didn't look at anybody else. And then I made a pass for him to catch the ball, and he got the ball. Win or lose, the ball was in the right hands.
Every time I look at that shot, it doesn't look like any of our players are covered. They're all open because all five North Carolina players are looking at Randolph because they know he's going to shoot it. None of them are guarding their man.
Randolph Childress had done everything right, except after his record-breaking shot, he did leave some time on the clock. Enough time for Carolina to tie or win the game.
Eight, nine, and 10, Monday night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. That's the way it sets up, all presented by New York Life.
Good stuff last night.
Yep.
And our next guest is front and center of episode number 8.
Metropolitan Kernersville, North Carolina is our next stop, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome to the show ACC legend Randolph Childress. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Thanks, you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
No, no. I want a couple points of clarity here. I want to credit Tony Rutland for knowing late that it wasn't his job to drive the ball to the basket to try and get the win, that we ought to probably get it to 22. And Odom with the insightful analysis, I thought, last night in the documentary. There was nobody guarding anybody else. All five guys were on Childress, and he still shot it.
Self-confidence wasn't anything that I was lacking, so
I would have given it to
on the court.
Everybody in the building knew you were going to shoot it, right? I mean,
yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, our guys wasn't surprised, and I don't think Carolina guys were surprised. There was no way I was passing that ball.
Randolph, all you got to do is say, excuse me, scoreboard. I mean, it's the answer to the question. I mean, I don't care who's one on five. Guess what? It's all about scoreboard. That was an incredible.
But you got,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got freshmen, right? So I got Tony Rutland on the team. So he's a freshman. So, you know, I've been working with him all year long to make sure, hey, you can shoot the first 30 minutes of the game, but the last 5 to 10 minutes, you make sure I get the ball. So Tony did his job.
You know, the thing I really enjoyed about this last night watching it, I mean, I was at the game, and it was just one of those moments in ACC history that you're like, wow, that's one of the best games you'd ever want to see. But what I thought was cool last night was the back and forth with Ewan McInnes. And, you know, Dean Smith whining on the bench about, you can't do that. He's, I had never heard that story until last night. Yeah. And I was like, wow, because when you were doing the crossover and breaking ankles and – the basket had to look like the size of Kernersville, the way you were shooting it, that whole tournament. When you watched that last night, and I know you probably watched it a few times, were there any other moments that come to mind like, oh, yeah, I forgot about, you know, Tim Duncan said this to me, or, hey, there was a play where Stackhouse did something. I mean, do you ever have flashbacks of something new that pops in your head?
For the longest period of time, that's all I remember was Dean Smith yelling, you know, in the back of my, you know, back of my ear, yelling at, you know, you can't do that. It's taunting. I remember that. And when I watched it, I always watched the Carolina bench. You know, I've gotten to know Shamon Williams well, and Serge Wicker was a high school teammate of mine. So I'm watching those guys. And it's always funny when something like that happens and you watch the other team's bench and watch them reaction. So I didn't watch much of the movie as much. You know, you see it enough, it comes out. I mean, I think, you know, the documentary was great just from a historic standpoint. I grew up watching Len Bias, and so the episode 7 for me was just amazing because that was like my idol growing up in the D.C. area and watching a guy like Len Bias. I was just blown away with him and his story and just had a great level of just admiration and watching him play.
It's also been interesting in the way the doc is run, Randolph, that we see the backstories that led to the titles, right? And you guys are one of a handful of teams that ultimately won the ACC tournament that did it on the rebound, that did it because of the disappointment the year before. Did you sense that was as big a driving force in 95 because of what had happened in Charlotte the year before?
No. You want to know the biggest driving force was Tony Rutland's mom passed. And, you know, we had lost a lot of close games early in that year. And if you were to go back and look at the record, we had played Florida State, that great team with those guys and Bob Sir and those guys. And I got called, you know, back then we didn't have cell phones. And so I got a call from Tony Rutland's dad. And we knew Tony, you know, Rutland's mom had been sick, and we didn't know what to do. I knew she was, you know, she was ailing, and I got the call saying, hey, she passed. Keep the phone away from Tony so he can't call. So I spent the entire day, like, sitting in the room with the phone in my ear, trying to keep him, you know, from calling home. And we got to the locker room right before the game, and he walked into, this is before they renovated the Florida State gym, and he walked into another locker room and got a payphone and called home. And we heard this scream in the locker room, and we knew. And it just set the tone for the entire day. So after the game, we just sat in the locker room, and we just cried. Duncan talked about losing his mom. Rutland, you know, we just all sat there and cried. And that was the last game we lost until the NCAA. We went through the rest of the ACC play. We never lost another game.
Wow.
It's amazing how that brings you together, doesn't it? I mean, that connection. It's one thing that we play a game, but, you know, it's also about life, the big picture, too, isn't it?
Yeah, people come up with so many motivational things and things that can help a team. But, you know, Tony Rutland's mother passing was, to me, the driving force. Everyone else can say all these different things, but that's the thing that stood out to me the most was just his mother passing. And we all knew his mom, and she was great. And just to, you know, Tony, and, you know, Duncan telling his story about his mom, which he didn't elaborate on prior to that. And so we all just kind of poured into each other. And from that point on, it just brought us closer together. And we just connected on the level that championship teams do. And we didn't get an NCAA championship, but we sure as heck got an ACC championship.
I got to tell you that one of the endearing pieces of video in ACC tournament history is you laying on the floor after Stackhouse's shot.
you know, hits the rim. Just curious, on like a scale of 1 to 10, how tired were you? 20?
Oh, I was exhausted. The reason I fell was I was running towards him full steam, and I didn't want to touch him. You know, the last thing I wanted was to, you know, for another overtime, and they call a foul on me. So I just ran toward him, and as he started to put the ball down, I just fell like, I'm not touching this guy. And I was exhausted. I mean, I think Tim and I led the league in minutes played that year, and three games back-to-back was a bit much. And I actually got sick. I don't know if people probably remember that. I got sick in the NCAAs. I was exhausted. I mean, I didn't have anything else left after that game.
I want to switch gears to this year's Wake Forest team. Coach Forbes right. done a heck of a job. Alondis Williams could be your player of the year. How would you assess where the Deacs are in the big picture? It's been a fun season watching them.
It's been fun. And I'll say this, the player of the year is over. Like, they can stop all the conversation about that. I mean, Alondis Williams deserved that. I think that's probably the one race that we can just declare that that's over. You know, you can make an argument about Coach of the Year. You know, I think Coach K maybe deserves some, you know, some awards, but I you know, Mike Bray's done a heck of a job and so has Coach Forbes. So I think that award's over. Wake's been great. It's been fun to watch. I just think the league has been so up and down and inconsistent outside of conference. So I don't know where they stand. I do believe they have to finish the season strong. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to take care of business against NC State and maybe get a pretty good win in the ACC tournament to solidify themselves. I just don't think they got – I think they're right there as far as getting in the tournament, and they need to finish strong to make sure they stay in it.
In weird ways, they, along with Miami and Notre Dame, and I said this earlier, they're kind of the stories of this season. I mean, Duke's been the ranked team, Randolph. We talked about that. I mean, but those three schools returning to the front third, if you will, of the ACC, that's a real storyline. And in case of Wake Forest, it kind of buoys their future a little bit. I mean, their perception now is entirely different than it was a year ago. I mean, you know that. We touched on that when we talked in the fall, I think.
Right. Well, you hope so. You know, but that's just the nature of collegiate athletics now with the transfer portal. You know, when guys leaving early, you gotta hope that they come back. I mean, they got some decisions to make. A lot of these guys, these seniors, and you know, they all have an option to come back. Whether they choose to come back or to choose to pursue professional careers, that has an impact. It's going to be difficult to continue to rebuild the team every year through the transfer portal. But that's just the times we're in. But it's exciting. It's exciting if you're a Wake fan. It's exciting to cheer for these guys and watch them. You know, finishing the top half of the conference and make a run in the tournament. So I look forward to attending their senior night and just cheering those guys on. They've had a heck of a year. I'm just proud of them.
Yeah.
If I said ACC tournament, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
You know what? Greensboro. I think it just needs to stay in Greensboro. It definitely needs to stay in North Carolina, just my opinion. I know from, you know, business and other million other reasons that it travels. But I, as much as I like to visit New York, it's just a better tournament when it's in North Carolina. That's just my biased opinion.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see because Duke will be such a prohibitive favorite, as you know, going to Brooklyn next week.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those, you know, and we've seen this before, right? Prohibitive favorite goes as the top seed. Sometimes it works out. We've talked about the last three times they've been the number one seed. They've won the event. It's going to be fascinating to see. By the way, I can't believe you told the story that you really didn't want to go eat lunch with Odom and like Ernie Nestor on Duncan's visit. I mean, really? That's big of you to play that card.
Listen, I didn't because the way Odom did it he would always kind of say, hey, I want you to host the big recruits. So you got to understand, Tim had like two scholarships. I think he jokes with me and says he had three. I think he had Delaware State and Wake Forest. So it's like if Delaware State and Wake Forest are recruiting the same kid, I'm like, we probably don't want this kid. So we had already had Maktar Njai, who had played with Stackhouse and McGinnis, and they were the number one high school team in the country. So I'm thinking Stackhouse is going to play. I'm hearing about Ricky Peral, this 6'11 guy who's skilled like a guard, and I'm hearing all this. And then I hear this guy who's a swimmer from St. Croix that just started playing basketball. And I'm like, he can't help us. Not with the amount of eligibility I had left. Like, I only had two more years. And he sounds like a junior or a senior before he can help us. Like, the swimmer can't help us right now, man. We got guys got to get in here. I just lost Rodney Rogers, too. I'm like, wait a minute. Rodney's out the door. I need more than this Duncan guy, man. Give me somebody that can play basketball.
Wait, whatever happened to Duncan? Did he ever have any
Tim, everything ever go okay with Tim? Is he still swimming, you think?
Well, you know what? He's probably still in bed for the next 3 hours, but when he gets up, he'll probably just be swimming. I think that basketball thing might have turned out, you know, for him. I think he made the right decision coming away. He learned a lot.
Yeah. I didn't want to go eat lunch. This guy was a swimmer who had offers from Wake and Delaware State. You better hope you and I don't do the same event one night. That's all I'm going to say.
Great. But woman. I did say he was a talent when I saw him. He can help, but I still didn't see that. No one saw that. But again, he was a swimmer.
Well, yeah.
Like, my goodness, who thought that was going to happen?
Well, I mean, Odom wanted to redshirt him. What'd he know?
He was right. You know, when you first saw him, he was 6'11", 7 feet or whatever he was. He was probably 200 pounds. He didn't have a jacket. All he walked around with was flip-flops and short-sleeve shirts. He looks like a surfer. He didn't look anything like a basketball player. Like, this guy can't play.
Yeah, you know what they
Boy,
say.
Boy, was I wrong.
Well, we've all been there before.
Boy, was Randall. I wrong.
I got that one wrong.
Check.
Yeah,
all right. All right, my man. Be well. Good to see you. Thank you, as always.
You too, guys. Take care. All the best.
All right. Randolph Childress.
It's a great story. But he's right, though, in terms of, hey, Tim Duncan, who's this guy? What's he going to do for us?
Swimmer. Delaware done. State, Wake Forest.
It's like,
hey.
It's like Hunter Renfro at Clemson. Yeah, what's this look? Is he a ball boy? What's he doing? Well, he turned out to be a pretty good player.
Let me give you one here. Chris King is the guy. Chris King was the Wake player who was on an NIT All-Star Tour to the Virgin Islands that saw Tim Duncan. Called Dave Odom and said, you need to come down here and see this kid.
You know, there's players everywhere, right?
Yep.
Jerry Rice. I mean, you just think about it, Hall of Fame greats.
Yep.
That, you know, you don't have to go to the ultimate high school, be seen. You either can play or you can't.
Yeah.
What a story.
J.R. Reed coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. When we come back, how about a little sneak peek? Want a little sneak peek? Yep. 9 and 10 next Monday night. We'll give you a little sneak next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Have you still got the awards over there? You're not talking for another 7 minutes.
We are perfect in keeping secrets. Perfect. We will maintain that at 9 a.m.
Okay. The final two episodes of the tournament, next Monday night, 9 o'clock, episode 9, 10 o'clock, episode 10. Here's a quick look ahead. I will tell you that the landscape of the Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball tournament changed forever in 2007. Do you know why? It went to Tampa, Florida.
Nothing like it.
And when it went to Tampa, Florida, the landscape of the event changed forever in terms of where it could be staged. Well, the funny thing happened on the way to Tampa. Two old Tobacco Road rivals ended up in the finals. Here's a sneak peek.
Cinderella team has done it. The glass slipper fit. The Wolfpack has won the national championship.
24 years later, Lowe and his NC State team were doing their Cinderella lineage proud, making it all the way to the final as a 10th seed. But Tyler Hansbrough was unimpressed.
I have never liked NC State. And I remember Sidney Lowe, he used to wear that red jacket, and I thought it was the ugliest jacket I've ever seen in my life.
Carolina showed their disdain for the upset-minded Wolfpack by grabbing the lead and building it to double digits. But the Pack had more in their arsenal than a famous coach in a brightly colored jacket.
Basket and the foul!
They just attacking. And, you know, and the shot goes in, another shot goes in, and all of a sudden you've lost your momentum. They've gained theirs, the crowd's into it. Then it's kind of a race to the finish line.
How about NC State? This is everything for them. Fell! Oh!
Coach Williams is not the one to call timeouts. He will let you fight and play through it, and you have to figure it out. He didn't want us to give in. He didn't want us to show weakness, and so eventually we had to figure it out.
There's a lot of intensity, emotion. We can feel it sitting here.
Terry again, Rivera.
Basket and a foul. What an absolute terrific play by the veteran player. He's up to get the diaper dandies. It's time for the veterans to step up.
Once we did, you know, kind of handled that and kind of handled their run, I mean, it was lights out for them from there.
North Carolina is going to win its 28th game, and Lawson with a punctuation mark at the end of the game.
Great effort, championship North Carolina.
Carolina broke Duke's streak of ACC titles and took home the trophy for the first time in 9 years. A tribute to the determination of the team and their coach.
I'd watched the ACC tournament, and when I was a student, I watched it religiously. And I remember teachers bringing in the TVs and setting a little portable TV up so you could watch. So for us, we'll have a chance to win the whole thing. I loved it.
My man, 5-0, how do you feel about that coat?
I'll be honest with you, I know State lost this weekend, but I kind of like Kevin Keats' jacket. I thought it was a good look.
I know.
I didn't mind it.
That's the best part. I mean, stuff like that, I like hearing it's a rivalry, isn't it? That part doesn't change through the generations, no, does it?
They don't like each other.
No.
Period.
No. All right, when we come back, we have done it again. We've made it to the finish line. When we come back, we will give you the official Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Basketball Awards. Winners and honorees next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.